Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Christine Williams.
You're listening to the midweek version of Fiber Talk, that twice-weekly podcast for needleworkers.
Yes.
Okay, Mark, the Nashville market was last weekend. We had big plans, and then Mother Nature got in the way.
Yes.
Yeah.
I texted Gary, and I said, I'm sad. And I just said I was horrible to my family all weekend long because I started to go and I was on my way in the middle of this nor'easter bomb cyclone, which just makes it sound more awesome. And the train, I had to take a train to a bus to a plane because even though I live in New York on Long Island, you'd think it was like metropolitan area. Evidently it's not. And in between stops, on a diesel train, the train lost power, and we were stuck for almost 2 hours before another train could come and push us. So there was no way I could make any flight at that point, which it turns out probably was a good thing because from all accounts on the news, everyone on those flights was vomiting from the turbulence. So
Yeah.
So I traveled for 5 hours and got nowhere.
Yeah, you know, the interesting thing about, for the rest of us in the country, when you say you live on Long Island, the general perception is that Long Island is New York City, and they're all very close and very compact and full of people. And the real fact is, when you get to Long Island, it's not. And
it's a long island.
It's a long haul.
Yeah. So I live a little bit, if from one end of the island to the end is 1 to 10, I live at probably 6. And I work at probably 3 on the South Shore. So I drive over an hour every day to work, and I don't even get to the city part. Not even close.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a weird perception. First time I was out there to see you was a real eye-opener for me, how far you are from New York City itself.
Yeah, and, yeah.
So to get to the airport is a major undertaking for you. And
yes,
In a bomb cyclone or cyclone bomb or whatever, it's not going
to
happen.
Right, I think they're running out of, you know, they have the Weather Channel has to come up with cool new names for things so that people will continue to watch the news because just, you know, a nor'easter isn't good enough. But you say bomb cyclone, people say, whoa, I have to watch the Weather Channel, see what Jim Cantone's doing.
Yeah.
So then now we're recording and I will say that my power is flickering because we're in the middle of the second storm we've had and it is blowing something fierce out there. So we should be fine. If I lose power, my phone will continue to work. So we will push on.
Okay. So the show.
At that point, I guarantee, though, my son will come in here because his router will have stopped working. So then I will have one unhappy child.
that's the one linchpin in the whole operation is if Jeremy's router quits.
That's right. Priorities. So let's talk about happy things, and you can tell me about your experience at the show that I didn't get to go to that I'm totally not bitter about.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sure you're not. Well, of course, there's no way that people can, that regular consumers can go because it's a wholesale only show. And so it's just people who are designers and sellers of product, wholesale sellers of product, and then store owners are the only ones that can go because they're there buying at wholesale prices so they can sell at retail prices in their stores. And so what you have is an Embassy Suites, which is a big square with a center atrium and open balconies to the center atrium. And I think there were 5 floors worth of rooms. All these vendors rent a suite in the hotel. And then for 5 floors, it's full of these vendors. And so it's a Embassy Suites. So the front end of your room is a living room area, kitchenette, living room area. And then the back is the bedroom. Well, what all these vendors do is they set up the front end. Basically, they set up a store in the front end. and they have all kinds of amazing ways of hanging up charts and samples and models and lights and all kinds of things. It was really fun to watch how each one had figured out how best to display their products. And then during the shopping hours, then the store owners go around and see the new introductions for the show and can literally buy the charts, buy canvases. There were needlepoint painted canvas people there, buy the canvases and take them with them. It's a cash and carry. So they show up, they go shopping, they buy stuff, they fill up their cars. You take, for instance, Kim Young from Sassy Jacks. She showed a video. They drove after the show was over, got home at 1 a.m. And then Monday morning, she was there at her shop to set up, because at 3 Monday afternoon, they had a sale of all the things she picked up at the market. Well, they have an SUV.
Yeah, she's posting on Facebook about that too. Yeah. That I saw.
Yeah, they have an SUV that was filled to the hilt with charts and other things that she had purchased at the show, to the point where their luggage got strapped on the luggage rack on the top of the car. So that's how much stuff she bought, and she's not alone. There were people with wagons walking around, you know, different kinds of collapsible wagons, so they could haul all their things. I mean, it was some serious purchasing going on. And so that was, you know, that was fun to see that. And then, of course, everybody there had new things to offer for the show, and we talked about some of them.
New launches.
Yeah. So that was fun to see. And then, I went around and I did videos. I did 25 videos, people showing what they have new, and you can get all those on our website, wetalkfiber.com. They're all there, all 25 of them, and they're also on our channel on YouTube, our FlossTube YouTube channel. But so that was fun to do, just to go around and do short videos. And I got to meet Nicola face-to-face, talked to her 100 times, but got to meet her face-to-face. And that was fun, and to see her 5 samplers, and
one of which I'm still coveting badly.
Yes. So she had several there, but got to see the 5 new ones, and then also in her room was Mary Wind Farm, and then just stitching along, Krista Gramer was there with her 2 new charts, Lucy Calcutt and. Ooh, I knew I'd forget. Lucy Calcutt and it'll come to me. Gertrude's Garden. I knew it'd come to me. So I got to meet her, and now Krista Gramer will be our guest Sunday. And so got to talk to her a little bit about and see that. And then Treenway Silks, that was a lot of fun talking to Sue Dubois at Treenway Silks. And can I just tell you, when you walk into a room like that, that is literally wall to wall, except for the windows, silk threads of every color.
Mm.
It's really hard to not just say, can you just put one of each in a bag and I'll just pay, whatever. That was a treat. To see all those and to talk with her. She was so kind too, because I was having trouble with my phone, which I was doing the videos on. So we recorded a whole thing, and it didn't record because I was out of space, because I had to learn that when you delete stuff, you then, like everything else, have to delete it from the deleted folder. So I went back and we did an even longer one, and she was fantastic about it. But oh, those silk threads, those Treenway silk threads. Oh man, what a beautiful display. Just gorgeous. And she had lights that were the right color temperature, so the colors would show up properly.
And that's key. That's really important.
Yeah, that was nice. So really enjoyed that. One that I did not, there were a couple I did not expect that were not designers. And one was Hug Me Bags, Amy Yuspe from New Orleans. And she had a room full of bags for hauling stitching. and not just cheesy cloth, you know, quick sew zipper bags, serious bags for hauling stitching with pockets, and a portfolio thing that had sleeves that you could snap in and out to add pages or subtract pages, all made with upholstery cloth, all done, all made in America. And she tries to buy fabric that's made in America. And, oh, they were impressive. Oh, big, and big bags, too. You can haul a lot of stuff.
Nice.
Yeah, so that was one that I did not know existed. So that was fun to see that. And then I got to meet Dan King from the Splinter Shop, who does the stands and roller frame of stands and scroll frames, and that was interesting. That's quite a system they have too. I enjoyed that, and so got to do that. Got to meet Tanya. We got to meet some of our guests, which was fun. Tanya Brockmeyer from the Scarlet House. She really had some nice stuff, and then Karen Kluba. Karen Kluba, Rosewood Manor. What she had a corner room. I think I'm sure that there's a scramble to get corner rooms because she had more room. And so all those Quaker samplers, she had them all there. And oh my, what a treat to see all those. And then she's got a new one, Sunflowers, coming out in the spring. Got to see that. Got to see the model for that. But just to go through and to see that Christmas one we talked about in all of its sparkling glory, that was fun.
Yeah.
And of course, Karen's just terrific. So we got the whole tour from her. So that was a lot of fun. Greg Banizak, who his business is Greg's Turn. All kinds of hand-turned, finished wood ort bowls and scissor holders.
Oh,
and
nice.
And laying tools. And oh man, it was just a room full of gorgeous wood. It was so pretty, so nice. You walk in, you could just smell the lacquer and the finished stuff.
Yeah.
And, oh yeah, it was beautiful. He had a cool thing. He had laying tools that have a relatively, actually quite a, in relative terms, a very fat handle to them, and then taper down to a normal size laying tool. And he said he had designed those for people who have arthritic hands or have trouble gripping. Mm-hmm. And just a brilliant thing. And, of course, a bigger chunk of wood is appealing to me anytime because I just love finished wood like that. And,
yes.
But I thought that was a really great idea so that you can use a normal laying tool and have it be thick enough that you can grab it and hold on to it and manipulate it if you have trouble mm-hmm. with finger joints. So that was good. In addition to... just ort bowls and scissor holders and that was something to see. That really was pretty. And see who else did I? Oh, Paulette Stewart. Now she said she would do a show with us. Plum Street Samplers. She was a lot of fun. She had really some nice new designs, and I'm anxious to talk with her, have her on the show. She was a lot of fun. And let's see who else. Oh, got to meet Doug Krynick face-to-face, so that was fun. And see their new things. Debbie Woodard was there from Painted Pony. Holy smoke, she has a lot of canvas, a lot of painted canvases.
Goodness.
It was just full. The room was just packed with canvases. And she had finished models and the whole bit. So that was fun to see. Let's see, who else? I met Ronnie Rowe. Now, Ronnie Rowe... he used to work at NASA, retired, and his wife cross-stitched. She said he'd do a show with us, so coming up. But he started stitching, and then he started designing, but he doesn't do the normal cross-stitch. All of his stuff is buildings, primarily houses, and he kind of mm-hmm. got started with English houses. You would go nuts.
Okay. Yeah, you piqued my interest immediately because I was going to ask you, are they the usual kind of like country style?
No, they're English with flowers around them and ivy on them and all that stuff. But he does it different. He doesn't just, it's not just rows and rows of X's. He does it more like stippled. Or if you zoom in real close to a newspaper photo where you see all the dots that make it up. Well, he uses the X's as dots, and he has some. He has some that are just all black thread, and it's all this like the stippled drawing stuff, and his ability to get dimension and light. I mean, you can. It's like a photograph. The way he makes it look like light is playing on the building is absolutely amazing. I was just blown away by it. And he has a lot of buildings, and you would really like the English buildings with English gardens, and he really does a neat job. And then he had a whole series of cats, and with color in the eyes and the rest of it fairly plain colors, you know, more monochrome.
That's cool.
And that was really impressive. And he had several other things, but he was a lot of fun, and what a talent. So that's a very different approach to cross stitching. I was really intrigued by it, and what he was able to do, really just by how close or how far apart X's are, and so that was really creative. I really enjoyed him. And
you know what? I'm going to interrupt you for one second because that's interesting. Just today, I was looking for sort of a modern cross stitch or needlepoint, and by that I mean. We've done, you know, and I've done and have expressed interest in samplers and historical pieces and things like that. And that's all well and good. But I started thinking about it, like what stitching would people do as contemporary stitching in, say, 1950? Suddenly this question came to me today. I have no idea why. So I started looking at that. So what would be sort of a contemporary piece? Like, we know what's contemporary for today. We have a good idea of what's contemporary for like the 70s. So, you know, going back to the 40s and 50s, what would somebody have stitched then? And I suspect the 40s and like the early 60s would have been quite different. So I kind of got intrigued with that idea. And this is interesting because it sounds like that sort of thing would have been appropriate to that era, because it almost sounds like sort of modern arty kind of thing in the way that you're describing it. Very architectural, very graphic design as opposed to figural.
Right. Yeah. No, his is very, he's the closest I've seen other than Heaven and Earth design things, full coverage, you know, minuscule detail. Yeah. He's the closest I've seen to realistic when it comes to buildings, to photographic. I shouldn't say realistic. I should say photographic. He really has a talent for making it look like light is playing on the buildings. And because, you know, like the full coverage Heaven and Earth design ones, I mean, those are basically portraits in thread. But no, he's doing something else in a different way. I just thought it was really a unique approach and really liked you could tell that it would take a while to stitch one of his designs, but the end result, well worth it. Really neat. Yeah. He was good. Yep, that was fun. And let's see. Kathy Reese, not Sally. Kathy Reese, and her counted charts. Oh boy, she's got a new one coming out here in a couple of months. But that was a lot of fun. It was fun to run into needlepoint people. Raymond Crawford was there with painted canvases. And there weren't a lot of needle pointers because it's primarily a cross-stitch show, but there were enough of them. So to go to the needle pointers, it was a nice change of pace, if you will.
Yeah.
And so that was fun. And let's see. Oh, one I had never heard of, Chris Ann Tellin, T-E-L-L-I-N. Her business is Tellin Emblem. She bases her designs on still lifes. They're like, I think she described them as still life samplers. And so she'll take a still life setup, you know, a bowl with fruit or flowers or whatever it is, and then make a sampler out of it, or make a design out of that. And I thought it was an interesting way to start with a design. And she had her new things were quite attractive. So I enjoyed that. And there were just several others. It was, you know, just a lot of them, and a lot of them, I there was so many I couldn't do a video with them because they were busy. You know, people were in there, and I couldn't get a 5-minute gap so I could actually do a video with them. And it was kind of frustrating at times because I really wanted to get as many as I could. But You know, 25 was a lot.
That's quite a few.
Friday night, when I had 12 or 13 Friday, and Friday night I was up till 1 in the morning because I really desperately wanted to get them posted so people could see them Saturday. And Margus says, "What time did you come to bed?" "Just never mind. It was I got them posted. I don't care." So yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was great to see so many designers and see the new products and the thread vendors. Oh, the threads.
That sounds like one of the highlights.
You just want to take a bag full. You just want to have a great big old shopping bag full of threads that you just take home with you. Not to be. But of the non-design things, I think the one that really stood out for me is the Hug Me bags, because they're really very nice, really well made, really useful. I mean, they're not one that I would use because they're all designed for females, so it's not something I'd haul around. But
they don't have one in like camo.
No. But very attractive and really well made. And boy, you could easily put a product or a project, two projects, three projects, whatever. You know, some of those bags, when you talk about going to a retreat and hauling three or four projects, no problem at all. Mm-hmm. And have them all fully protected and separated and organized. And yeah, really a nice design. And so it was fun. It was fun. I saw a lot of neat things. I really wish I'd had been able to get more videos in, but at some point, you know, there was just enough is enough. But one thing I do want to mention in the videos, I did my best, but this was a wholesale show. So in the videos, if a price shows up, that's a wholesale price. So don't be going to your local store and saying, "Hey, that the price is X," because that's not it. That's the wholesale price. You know, that's where it starts from. And then your store owner, who has to pay for lights, heat, inventory, taxes, and employees, all that cost got to get added in. And then somewhere along the way, there's got to be some profit, or it's not worth it. So if you see some of those prices, and I really did try hard to make sure they didn't show up. But if you see them, don't get locked into thinking you're going to go to your store and get that price, because that's a long way from the price that you pay as a retail customer. And so I just caution on that. It was hard to hide some. I mean, you just couldn't hide some. Sometimes I would just go quickly by so it would be blurred. So I just point that out to people who might think that they can get, or that their local needle shirt work store is really, you know, taking advantage of them. They're not, trust me. The local needlework stores are, I don't think that's a path to become a multi-millionaire by any stretch.
No. Certainly not.
No, it's not that. Just like in our former life with aquarium stores, that's not a path to fame and fortune. It's something you do because you love it and it's fun to do. And if you make enough to make a living off of it, then so much the better. So I just put that caution out there. If you see those prices, don't be beaten on your local needlework store for that, because not it. So it was really a lot of fun. And for our first show I've been to of this type, it was a really great experience and really fun to see all the designers in one space. Of course, what's fun about any trade show is seeing all the vendors in one space. You can get so many in a day. So that was fun.
Yeah. I think it's interesting that going into the show, you and I were both looking forward to all of the things that we could stitch. That was pretty much all we talked about, really, was, you know, this design and that canvas and all of that. And coming out of the show, it sounds like the things that stood out to you, listening to you, were materials, and not infrastructure, but things that make stitching enjoyable and pleasant. So the designers and the charts and all were there, and they were excellent. But the things that made you happy were the things like the wooden ort bowls and bags that would be, you know, make your life easy. That's kind of interesting to me.
Yeah.
Because those are good things to have. You know, you kind of overlook them in the store. You think that, you know, that's, you know, it's not a necessary thing, but if it makes your stitching life more fun or, you know, makes you feel better, then it really is worth it, isn't it?
Yeah, that's interesting that you would get that because they were different. They were different from all the, you know, room after room of designs. And yeah, at some point, that's interesting. You got me thinking there, because at some point when there's that many new designs in one space, I think your mind just says, okay, it is not practical to think about trying to own and stitch all of these. That's just,
maybe.
So you just turn that part off and you enjoy the collection of them for what they are. And there's two or three that stand out. Karen Kluba's are two or three that stand out for me, Sunrise and Sunset and the Christmas one. And, you know, there are those, and then some of the samplers that stand out. Yeah. But yeah, you just shut down. And so then when you get to Ort bowls and stands and frames and then threads, it trips a little switch and you start to be interested in that. Yes, it's interesting. Because now you got me thinking back. Yeah, that's pretty much what happened to me. Because they were different, I could lock in on them where everything else was new designs. And I knew there was no way I was taking all those out of there or stitching all of them in my lifetime. So just set that whole thing aside. And really well-run show. You could tell. There was good signage everywhere. The book was excellent. The needlework retailer people, the magazine and the ownership company there really seemed to have it well organized. And you can tell, I've been to enough trade shows in my life, a lot of trade shows in my life, and when they're poorly organized, it's immediately obvious. That was not the case here. It was well done, from check-in to how do I find people to signage everywhere. And signage is so important in shows. And they really had it done well. And it was a real enjoyment. Yep. A lot of fun.
That's great.
A lot of fun.
Now I'm sad again.
I know. Sorry. So, yeah. Sorry. Next one. Yep. I did learn something else, that when you're traveling and you have a new lap stand and needlepoint you're working on, and you pack it all in the car because you're going to work on it in the room and you're going to have time to stitch, it's really helpful if you bring the instructions.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, that it really makes a difference. What an idiot. Jeez. I'm looking all over and then I realize I know where those instructions are at. They're on my stitching table at home. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The instructions for how to put the stand together?
For what the next thing was to stitch and where it goes in the
chart. Instructions.
Those instructions, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, because that's not something you can really look up online either.
No. And the one I'm doing is from Needlepoint Now magazines that are 5 or 6 years old. So it wasn't like I could just go get a copy. And mm-hmm. Yeah, no, you want to take that with you. It's just a tip. Pro tip, as they say.
Pro tip.
Take the instructions. What a bonehead. So I had I had my thing on stretcher bars, and I'm carefully putting it in the car so it won't get damaged, and my lap stand and my bag with my threads and everything is all carefully packed away, and I couldn't do a thing. The entire weekend, couldn't do a thing. Yep.
You have to take a break. Yeah, well, next time, we won't have time to talk about it this time, but my floor sand finally arrived. So,
ooh.
Yes, we will have to talk about that a little bit.
And you've used it and you love it?
I've used it for 5 minutes now.
Oh, it's that new. Okay.
Yes, it really is that new. So I've built it twice now in different configurations to see, you know, how I like it and sort of get used to the whole, you know, idea of stitching in a proper way as opposed to stitching in some crazy convoluted way on my couch. So yeah, hopefully next time we do this, I'll have some impressions of what it's like to stitch like a normal person.
Okay. Yeah. All right. We'll save all that for that experience. Yes. Oh, we'll save that experience all the way around. Yep. Oh, and I got shorter sides for my Millennium frame. Cause I bought longer sides. I bought longer sides. Big mistake. Get the short sides that they recommend because now I can stitch right side up and actually reach everything. And the linen is tighter and it's just very nice. So, yeah, got that. Nicola, if you go to Nicola cracks me up. She was there with her husband and they were headed off on a cruise afterwards. They're in the Caribbean on a cruise after the show before they go home. There's a picture. I don't know if I can find it, but in one of the sampler Facebook groups, there's a picture of Nicola with the luggage she brought.
Oh, I saw that picture.
Holy smokes. How she got in the country with all those suitcases, massive suitcases. I'll never know.
I don't either.
They had to be watching her on 18 different cameras when she rolled all that stuff through.
And how? And
I don't know how.
And then to bring them back, you know, especially if you're going on a cruise. I hope she shipped them home and only took one or two with her.
I hope so. Oh man, that picture is something else. I've never seen anybody with so much and so big luggage. I mean, it's huge pieces of luggage because she had to carry all of her samplers and models and frames and. It was just funny, but she pulled it off. She pulled it off. I give her credit. She got it done. Oh, man. Yep. That was different. So there we have it. We need to end this thing. But enjoy the show and go to WeTalkFiber.com or our FlossTube YouTube channel to see those videos because there's 25 of them. So you get to see up close. And I made a real effort to show you up close each of the new designs as we were talking about them, a full shot, and then get in close so you can see exactly what you're getting. So I think I pulled it off well, so you can really see what those new designs look like. So go check those out. And then Sunday, joining us Sunday, and by the way, Sunday will be our 100th regular podcast.
Hey.
Yeah, already 100 of them. So. Wow. So Sunday will be Krista Gramer of Just Stitching Along. And so we'll get to talk about reproduction samplers from her perspective and stitching in general. And we'll also be able to give away, you'll want to listen, because you'll be a chance to win a copy of her Miss Lucy Calcutt 1825 reproduction sampler. So,
That's nice. That's a beautiful one too.
Yeah, it is. So it'll be a question to answer in the comments on WeTalkFiber.com and a chance to win a copy of that sampler from Krista Gramer and Just Stitching Along. So be sure and listen Sunday. That's it.
Very good.
We'll be back. No, that's not it. Next Wednesday, traveling business, you know, paying job traveling is in the way. So next Wednesday will not be the two of us. It will be a podcast I did with Kim Young from Sassy Jacks while we were at the Nashville show, a 15 or 20 minute podcast that we did. So that'll be the Wednesday show. And then Christina and I will be back the week after to learn about Christine's floor stand. Well, yeah, a little different next Wednesday just because travel just is not allowing us to record. It's my travel this time. Just not possible. So there, that's it. Okay, we're done.
Okay. Take care.